Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you in the Kia Studios on this Thursday evening. Going to be with you for the full 4 hours, 1 minute, and 10 seconds. We ask you to download the Odyssey app. We know you're not in the car as much. We'll be starting at 6:45 here in about 3 days from now. We'll be starting about 6:45. Anyway, download the Odyssey app. Put that on one of your devices today. You can take your smartphone, your Alexa speakers, your tablet, your boombox, your 8-track player, your PlayStation, whatever your device is. Just download it on something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929TheGame on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to be a part of the show through our personal Twitter pages, at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. On the other side of the glass, producing the show, Day-Day is in the house at the D. Lewis for real. Well, a bunch to get into with you here this evening. As let's start with the Falcons. Obviously, day two of training camp. So we have all the shows out there today. And Dukes and Bell, of course, just wrapping up at the Hooters at the Mall of Georgia. And I guess, did our invitation get lost in the mail? Were we supposed to be at Jay Crickets tonight?
No.
Establishment. I meant to.
No.
McCray's right down the road here.
Nope, not that one either.
Okay. Where were we supposed to be? Weren't we supposed to be out and about somewhere?
Here.
Huh?
Here.
Where?
Cafe Here.
Huh. Okay. Anyway, so day two of training camp, and, you know, I was watching some of the video highlights and stuff like that. You saw, you know, Troy Anderson make a play. I think it was on Drake London. Who was the other one? No. Troy Andersen made the play on Bijan Robinson. Richie Grant that made a play on Drake London? I mean, so a little bit of the defense, you know, stepping up and doing some things. And again, it is what it is. It's overreaction time, right? Everybody's going to overreact. I did see some articles, and you know, Mike and Carl have been talking about this, but I did see some articles that were talking about, should there be some concerns about Desmond Ridder? And I'm like, it's the first practice of the year. Should there be concerns about that? I'm concerned that person has a mental deficiency. That's what I'm concerned about. Because if you're writing an article that stupid one day into training camp, whew. Anyway, so Falcons will be back at it tomorrow and, of course, open to the public. So you can check them out at Flowery Branch. Make sure you get a ticket before you go out there. So you got to get – it's not that it costs you anything. It's all free. But you got to get a ticket because, again, of what, limitations on attendance out there. And, again, there is some construction and stuff like that that's going on out there. So you can check them out tomorrow and then through next week. Although I think they're off on – aren't they off on Tuesday? They're just like the regular schedule. They're off on Tuesday, I believe. So I don't think they're going to have practice on Tuesday. So we'll hear a lot from the Atlanta Falcons. We got Falcons flyover. We're going to play a lot of clips. We're going to hear from a couple of the guys that joined all the different shows today, including Arthur Smith. We'll play him coming up at 7:40. So we'll get into plenty of Falcons with you here this evening. It'll be a very Falcon-heavy type of show. Braves last night took it on the chin. You know, lost the two-game set to the Boston Red Sox, and thought Strider deserved better. You know, 6 1/3 inning, he really did struggle in that seventh inning because he was on – he was just cruising right along through six innings, and you thought, okay, he'll cruise right through the seventh inning, and it'll be all good. And then he got to that sixth inning, and he could only get one out, and he gave up two home runs, and then they brought Johnson in, and he gave up – well, Strider had given up the two home runs, but they brought Johnson in, then he gave up a couple of runs and just – kind of fell apart from there. They scored five straight. Kirby Yates gives up another run. I question some Kirby Yates, but anyway, we can discuss that at another time. But just they scored five straight and lost last night, and they got swept in this little two-game miniseries that they had against the other Red Sox. And now they come home to play the Milwaukee Brewers. So that would be a fun series, you know, just like it was last time. I mean, again, Brewers are in first place in the NL Central. They are a game and a half ahead of the Cincinnati Reds. So two first-place teams that will be playing come tomorrow night. All will be right with the world because the Braves will be in their home red uniforms and stuff. So just for craps and giggles, the Mutts and the Nationals play tonight. So that's a barn burner of a series. Boy, that's some baseball to not miss. If you're up in Flushing Meadows or Gotham or wherever, you know, up there in godforsaken New York, that series is going to set back baseball 80 years. Like, they should play with those old-fashioned, you know, those really old gloves that they used to have in the old days, like they were just like an oven mitt, right? And they should go up there with the ball caps instead of the helmets. And again, they should and pull their stirrups way up. So anyway, that's a series that will set baseball back a generation with the Nats and the Mutts taking place. So, and hopefully they'll just beat the hell out of each other, and that'll be the end of it. So, but Braves are off tonight. As I said, they get ready for Milwaukee coming up here tomorrow night. And let's see who'll be on the mound. Adrian Hauser will be on the mound for the Braves. So again, we'll see what happens in this series. Braves need to just try to get themselves back on track a little bit. You know, again, they've lost three of their last four. They did win the series against Milwaukee, but they have lost three of their last four, and they got pounded the other night. They deserve probably a better fate last night, but still, you know, it's been kind of a meh kind of thing. And I talked about this on my podcast today, Day-Day. You know, we talked about Marcell Ozuna last night. He's 4 for his last 49 with a homer and 3 RBI. The Braves, in his last 14 games, the Braves are 6-8 in his last 14 that he's played. Orlando Arcia is, I think it's like 5 for 37 in his last 10 games. In his last 10 games, I think he's 5 for 37. The Braves are 3-7 in the last 10 games that he has played, and Eddie Rosario for the month of July has hit .154 with about a 250 or 290 OPS. So that strength that was the bottom of their lineup, and Michael Harris has been okay. I mean, he's been fine. But the strength that was the bottom of their lineup, where they could turn that lineup around and get Ronnie and Ozzy and Riley and Olson up, you know, repeated at bats, they have really struggled over the last couple few weeks. And they're just not getting it done at the bottom of the order.
Yeah, they've definitely, and their impact is definitely being felt. You know, obviously, like you said, you know, how well the Braves have just performed overall in general, because, I mean, they're just not getting those hits and getting those guys on base there. So, because again, last night, what they end up losing 5-3 after jumping out 3-0.
But yeah.
There was no other production.
But Ozzy hit the 3-run homer, and that was all he got.
That was it.
And again, they're not getting. And I'm not saying that this is directly tied into it.
Right.
But it is interesting that as Marcelo Zuna's tanking, Braves have been losing. As Orlando Arcia's offense has gone away, Braves have been losing. You know, that bottom of the order has been so valuable to the Braves from power, driving in runs, scoring runs, you know, and turning that lineup over to where you get to Ronnie and Ozzy and Riley and Olson. You get more at-bats for those guys versus it's just automatic outs versus it's just, you know what, they again, used to be in the old days of baseball, especially the National League, 7, 8, 9, that was your light-hitting shortstop, your light-hitting second. That was, you had Tom Verizer at short, Dwayne Kuiper at the second, and then, you know, if it was the National League team, you'd have the pitcher spot up. So you'd have nobody in 7, 8, 9. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you got mashers and bashers and thrashers and everything else, 7, 8, 9, right? You got the Marcelo Zunas and the Eddie Rosarios and guys like that, and even Orlando Arcia, who's got 10 home runs this year, and Michael Harris, and you know, guys like that that are very productive for this team, and they've meant a lot to the Braves. They've meant a lot to their success.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of gone away, and it hasn't been as good of late. And, you know, again, I'm not saying it's a direct correlation, but I think it's more than just coincidence that as those guys have sputtered, you know, the Braves have, you know, been losing here. So, again, hopefully they get back on track and get this thing cranked up and going, and should be a fun series with two first-place teams as they will play Milwaukee over the weekend. Did you see Joe Burrow in that video?
Yeah, I saw that.
Can I tell you, you talk about, like, heart, like your heart in your stomach. I'm not even talking about the fans. I'm talking about coaches, players. When you see a guy, because let's face it, Joe Burrow is, what's he, top three, top four quarterbacks in the NFL?
Yep.
I mean, how many guys, I mean, I'll give you Mahomes. How many guys are truly better than Joe Burrow? I would tell you that Kyle Allen's, I don't think, is better than Joe Burrow.
Mm-mm.
I don't think Jalen Hurts is better than Joe Burrow. Justin Herbert's not better than Joe Burrow. Who's better? I mean, who's other than Pat Mahomes, who's better than Joe Burrow?
Nah, I was going to say Mahomes.
A-Ron?
Yeah, nah, Holmes and then Patrick Mahomes, I mean, and then, yeah, I mean, I think you could flip a coin between him and Josh Allen for number two.
Yeah, yeah. I and again, when you watch that video, now, they said it was just a calf injury, but when you watch that video, you are seeing the entire Cincinnati coaching staff, fan base, players, their entire they would have had a look on their face of, this is over.
Yeah, you almost saw trucks on that bridge in the background stop.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised somebody didn't pass out from heat exhaustion, you know, on the field or whatever like that because of that Burrow injury.
Right.
Because, again, that was one of those things that you felt like, oh, my God, if he's gone for the year, everything that we're trying to accomplish goes out the window. I don't even know who their backup is. Is it John Kitna or somebody like that? I don't even know who their backup is You know, but there's nobody. Is it A.J. McCarron? Or I don't even know who their backup quarterback is. Ken Anderson. So, but you look at everything that the Bengals would have in front of them, and it would be over in an instant in day number two practice of training camp. It would be over in an instant if he's out for the year. Now, it looks like he's not going to be. They said he had, you know, the sleeve on, and it was just a, you know, involving his calf and all that kind of stuff. But still, whew, man, you talk about dodging a bullet. Who is their backup?
Trevor Siemian.
Oh, Trevor Siemian.
Northwestern.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine you got to start 17 games with Trevor Siemian as your quarterback? You know what? If I was the head coach, I'd quit. Like, I'd say, you know what? When we get Burrow back, that's when I'll start coaching again.
That's when I come back.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to go on an extended vacation for a year. And when we get Burrow back, then we can talk. Until then, hasta lasagna, don't get any on you. I mean, you talk about, you know, honestly, heart in your stomach. Like, that looked like one of those things that, oh, my gosh. Again, and I saw Jalen Ramsey get hurt today, too. Okay, with all due respect, and I'm not talking about player, you know, is Jalen Ramsey a better player than – I'm talking about the impact that
position
Joe Burrow
value,
what,
yeah.
Yes, the positional value that Joe Burrow brings is monstrous. And what he means to that organization, monstrous. You can live without a Patrick Ramsey and still be good. Jalen Ramsey. Yeah. You can't live without Joe Burrow.
No.
Like there is no substitute for Joe Burrow. No substitute whatsoever. So I watched that video and I was like, holy smokes.
Yeah, I think even if you're not a Bengals fan, gasp for him.
No, I'm watching it and I'm thinking, oh my God, like their season could be over.
Mm-hmm.
It could be over before it even started.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Crazy to think about all of that. So, again, it looks like they dodged a bullet, but still scary stuff when you see your quarterback go down like that. And it looks like he was just shot in his leg and just was like, oh, my gosh, it could be over for the Bengals before it even started. All right, here's what we got going on. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. That is our phone line. We're going to open up the phone lines to you, as we usually do, at 720. Who scores the most touchdowns? Who has the most sacks for the Falcons this year? Day-Day and I will weigh on it, and we'll get your thoughts and calls next. Chuck Ray in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about, a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Key Studios Thursday night with you. All right, 404-726-0929. That is our phone line. Asking you a very simple question. Who scores the most touchdowns for the Falcons this year? Who ends up with the most sacks for the Falcons this year? Day-Day, if I ask you that question, what you got?
Oh, so for touchdowns, I mean, really both sides of the ball, I think, are just going to be so crazy in a good way. But offensively, I think just very dynamic. I think we're going to see a lot. So it's really hard to nail. But I'm going to go. I know Carl went with Bijan when you asked him and Mike. Believe it or not, I'm gonna go with Tyler Allgeier.
All right, who has the most sacks for the Falcons?
Sacks, I think Grady gets back up there, and I think it's because of David Amunyata's presence.
Yep, Amunyata.
So I think Grady can actually get back up there in that category.
So I'm going to say the two answers that it needs to be, and that is who scores the most touchdowns? Needs to be Kyle Pitts. Needs to be Kyle Pitts. I'm sorry. I mean, again, We're talking about trying to win football games and have an impact at a high-profile position with a high-profile draft pick. Needs to be Kyle Pitts.
Okay.
Who's going to lead the league? Who's going to lead the Falcons in sacks this year? Needs to be the guy that needs to make the biggest jump. It's got to be Arnold Ebiketie.
Yeah, I knew you were going to go Arnold Ebiketie.
And again, I mean, if those two guys aren't right at the top, right near the top. Let's say Ebiketie has two sacks this year. Our defense ain't going to get where we need it to be. I'm telling you. Our defense is not going to get to where we need it to be. You're not going to tell me that I'm going to have three defensive linemen that end up with eight sacks. Like, I'm just not buying that. You know? And Grady's not a double-digit sack guy. He's six,
he's about
seven.
A 6'7", maybe
yeah.
Eight.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think his career high is six. Six and a half, maybe. Seven, maybe. I mean, but again, that's a productive year when you combine it with a guy that's 10 sacks here and 8 sacks there. And, you know, not saying that it's not a good number, but it has to change. We got to get that fire breather coming off the edge. And again, if Kyle Pitts is only going to be a 3 or 4 touchdown, you know, pass catcher for this team, that's not good enough. That's not going to get our offense where we need to be. One is, we're not going to be a great red zone offense, and we're not going to be 67% touchdowns in the red zone. If Kyle Pitts has got three, maybe a fourth touchdown, that's Michael Pruitt. I'll let Michael Pruitt be that kind of guy. Michael Pruitt can afford to be a four touchdown guy. Kyle Pitts can't afford to be a four touchdown guy anymore. Can't afford to be a four touchdown guy anymore. So 404-726-0929. But you know, the sacks thing is interesting because, and I know Mike talked about Caden Ellis, but is Caden Ellis a 7-sack guy, or is he the guy that had 1 sack in 3 years in his first three in the league? You know, he had a chance to play through injury, and he took advantage of it, and he played really well. And, you know, again, he knew he had a contract coming up. He knew he was, you know, going to be a free agent at the end of the year. So you're trying to cash in. But, you know, he had a good year last year. Can he replicate that, though? Because we haven't seen it. I mean, again, it's been one good year. We haven't seen it for 2 years, at least not in his career so far to this point. You know, again, one sack in 3 years, his first 3 years. And he was special teams and this and that, whatever like that. But, again, if you show out and you can't – if you show out to where you can't earn playing time, then that's not very good coaching. So I don't think it was that. I don't think it was, you know, a matter of his first 3 years, you know, he was really playing well, but he couldn't earn playing time. I don't think that that's what the case is. And I don't watch enough Saints football, know enough to know that he was mostly a special teams player at that point. But, again, if Caden Ellis can, you know, get to double-digit sacks, okay, now we got something. Because I think Ebikade is going to have the big breakout year. I think he is primed to have that big breakout season on the defense for and I'm talking as far as sacks. I think Okuda is going to have a really good year. I think he's going to get himself a good contract, whether that's with the Falcons or if that's with somebody else. But I think he's in line to have himself a big season. And if he's healthy and on track and playing with A.J. Terrell, like, there's no reason to not think that, you know, he can't have a monster year for the Atlanta Falcons, you know, and be one of the better dynamic duos at cornerback with him and A.J. Terrell. So I think he's primed to have a big year. But, you know, it's a lot about Ebikade, about, you know, having that fire breather coming off the edge. And you spend a second-round pick on him. You know, it's got to be more than just two sacks and, you know, some flashes here and some flashes there. You know, consistency. All right? That's one of the things you're looking for with a guy in that kind of spot is consistency in it. And I think that that's, you know, the thing that we have yet to see. He showed flashes, and I thought maybe he played his best game when he started that one start that he had. It should have been more starts. I mean, we talk about Desmond Ridder should have been starting more. Arnold Ebikade should have been starting more. He should have been taking snaps away from other guys. He should have been taking snaps away from Lorenzo Carter and people like that. He should have been taking the, you know, a majority of snaps as they were running down the stretch of the season. Should have been starting every week and get him acclimated to it and see what he can really do. Now, as far as the touchdown thing goes, look, I'm not. Could Bijan Robinson lead this team in touchdowns? Absolutely. Like, there's no reason why, with his rushing and receiving, you know, numbers that he's potentially going to put up, no reason why. But I think if this team is going to get where it needs to be, we have to have Kyle Pitts have that monstrous season. I keep talking about that Travis Kelce season. And, you know, when I was doing a BetQL hit on their morning show a few weeks ago, and, you know, they kind of pushed back about, well, that's a lot of pressure to put on. What pressure? That's what he's supposed to be. How's it pressure? You didn't draft him at number four to be, you know, who's our former tight end? Austin Hooper. I mean, you didn't draft Kyle Pitts at number four to be Austin Hooper. You drafted him to be Travis Kelce. You drafted him to be at that kind of level. And you're going to invest that high in the highest tight end ever picked in the NFL. It needs to be that guy. He needs to be at that level. Now, look, if Bijan Robinson's got 15, 16 touchdowns and Pitts has got 10 or 12, okay, I'm all good with that. I'm all good with that. As long as I see that touchdown number, I won't look at any other number. I'll have, you know, how like on Pro Football Focus data, they have those sortable columns, like when you're looking at stats. As long as, you know, I see, I'll sort out his touchdown number and I'll isolate on it. I won't worry about receptions. I won't worry about yards and things like that. I won't worry about yards per reception. I'm going to focus solely on touchdowns for Kyle Pitts because that's the kind of player that he needs to be. That's the kind of impact that he needs to have. He needs that Travis Kelce impact. I don't care about the numbers per se, but I'm throwing out numbers just because, okay, we need him to be at this kind of level. He's not going to be at that kind of level if he's, you know, 55 catches for 600 yards and two touchdowns. No, it needs to be at that high level. It needs to be at a level that, you know, again, he's in that elite type of status. And I think that, look, I think that there could be multiple guys that put up a good handful of touchdowns for this team. I think Tyler Allgeier is going to be a guy who's going to score some touchdowns. I think that obviously Kyle Pitts is going to be a guy who scores lots of touchdowns. I think that Bijan Robinson is going to be a guy that could be lots of touchdowns in this offense, whether it's rushing, receiving, or what have you. I certainly think that he's a viable option to do all of that. But at the end of the day, if we're going to get where we need to be, if we're truly going to get to where the level of what we want to be is, then I think it has to be Pitts, and I think it's got to be Arnold Ebiketie on the defensive side. And that's, you know, that's as much of a heart pick as it is a head pick, because I am thinking with my heart that those guys need to, you know, need to do it, and they need to step themselves up. But it's also the reality of the situation with the Falcons as far as, okay, who needs to step up the most? Who needs to step up? Not who will step up, or, you know, who is going to be the surprise or this or that or whatever like that. Who needs to step up? Well, Pitts and Ebiketie are two of those guys. Probably the two guys at the very top of the list for all of that. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. But, you know, obviously, you know, Pitts and Ritter didn't get a chance to connect as much as what they would have hoped for. Now, that's one of the things Ritter talked about in the offseason was he obviously, without Kyle Pitts playing, got to build a chemistry with Drake London. And you saw there was a really good chemistry between those two. You saw that they were on the same page with those two. So that takes time, that takes reps, things like that. But that's where you missed out with Kyle Pitts, is being able to have those reps week in, week out with Desmond Ritter, and being able to, you know, get that cohesion and get that, that bonding of those two guys to be able to come together and certainly put up some big numbers. And obviously, you know, can he be, you know, 125 targets or whatever? Maybe. Maybe he can be that kind. I think Drake London's targets are going to fall flat. You know, again, he was, I think, 115 targets or something like that. If I look up, again, that number probably doesn't drastically increase. And I'm not saying because that Drake London can't be a good player. It's just more of, you know, can this offense pass it enough times to get him a lot of targets? Yeah, Drake London had 117. Yeah, I could see that number going to maybe about 125. Maybe about 125. Pitts obviously only had the 59 targets because he was hurt for the last seven games of the season, but that number needs to go up drastically. That number needs to climb pretty high. So I think if you target Pitts a good bit more, and you're not targeting, you know, again, the Cordarrelle Pattersons and the Drake Lennons, you know, of the world, Pitts' number's got to get up there as well. So, but obviously day two of camp, you know, we got a long way to go. 2 weeks from tomorrow will be the Falcons' first preseason game. That'll be the first preseason game that they play. So that'll be 2 weeks from tomorrow. We'll have all the coverage right here on 92.9 The Game. And everybody was out there this morning. And did we have any hiccups or anything like that? No hiccups or nothing? Not from the morning shaft?
Not that I heard. Not from
the Chuck House? No. Not from Danny and Randy? So, okay. Anyway. So it sounds like it was all good. So, yep. Well, speaking of which, I think Chuck House, did they not have Arthur Smith?
They had coach, yep.
Mm-hmm. So when we come back, we're going to hear from Arthur Smith and what he had to say as he joined, I think it was Steak and Sandra today, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So he joined Steak and Sandra earlier this morning. What the coach had to say about this team, Chuck Reed, Nakia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out at the Kia Studios, 404-726-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. So we're going to play some of these Falcon interviews, and I'm going to give some commentary on the back end of them. So the Chuck House, right, they're the ones, Steak and Sandra, they had Arthur Smith on earlier in the show. So and they start off by asking him about how camp heading into year three differs from years one and two.
You go into these jobs, and anytime you take a new job,
yeah,
whether you know you get promoted or you know you go somewhere else, which many people can relate to, there's always the unknown, and you try to do as much research and prepare yourself, but it's the unknown. You know that every day you walk in, something may come up.
Right.
You know, especially we got a lot of players this time of year. You know, you got 90, really 91 with Avery on IR. And things come up. There's life that happens outside this building. So every day, you know, something comes up and your situations that.
Decisions to be made every day as head coach that is totally different from as you worked your way up through coordinators and, mm-hmm. you know, literally up the coaching ladder. But there is always something put in front of you in that position. And you have to make decisions, quick decisions, important decisions to move your football team forward.
Absolutely. You know, you know, you're going to get tested as a, you know, with all the things you believe in, as you know, your leadership qualities, right. And you know the way you want to run the program. How can you adapt? I mean, things can change in an instant in this league, and that are out of your control.
Do you enjoy training camp?
I do, I really do, and it's exciting. I mean, the thing that makes it fun for me is how our guys work. This isn't a team that, and every team's different, but the quality of guys we have here, not only really good football players, but these guys work. And you'd rather have guys you got to pull back than guys you got to push forward. And we got plenty of guys that go.
What's the most important role? Are you one of those guys that gets the most juiced up for practices, for training camp, for game day? Like mindset of how you wake up this morning and how you approach your most important job in running this team, especially in training camp. What is it?
Yeah, it's making sure that we're doing enough. You know, because you've got guys at different stages. We got to get ready to put the ultimate goal. We got to be ready to play September 10th. But, you know, we're going to go down to Miami, and it's going to go quick. I mean, August 11th, we got to get ready to play a full game. You know, we'll decide that week and who all is playing and who's not. But you got to go out there and play a game and get some of these guys ready that haven't, you know, never stepped on the field in the NFL. And so you're just making sure that you're prepared, the plans you have, you know, guys that you're expecting, they're young players, are they getting the right reps? Are we getting the right looks? All that stuff.
Arthur Smith, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, joining us right here on the Steakhouse on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Talk a little bit about the offseason, and I'll say that you were put in a unique situation for 2 years. Not a lot of flexibility with dollars, you know, grabbing guys on one-year deals, trying to, you know, kind of piece together, knowing that this offseason coming up, the last one we just had,
absolutely,
was a chance to load up and start to get the team that maybe I think you believe can be really competitive, a playoff team, and maybe farther than that. So talk about what you had to do for 2 years and how great it was to kind of have, you know, the opportunity to go get the guys you got in the offseason.
Well, you know, every job has unique challenges, and you know, they're very upfront. You know, you get fortunate enough to the opportunity to get one of these jobs, and you know, you understand there's maybe some issues with the
challenges,
cap, and,
cap,
yeah,
challenges.
As you transition, sure. And we tried like hell. You don't ever want to make excuses, and it's going to teach you a lot about what you really believe in. Are you really going to be adaptable? Can you problem solve? Can you, you know, if you really look at our 21 team,
yeah,
we played completely different than how we played last year because we weren't going to concede anything. I mean, I just don't think of believing excuse making. I mean, I know some people want the rationale of whatever it's become in vogue to say, hey, you know, we'll just kick the can down the road to the next year. But you need to build a culture of winning and guys that know how this game's played. Because a lot of these players, say, you come from college, they're not in these one-possession games.
Right.
They're not. I mean, a few times a year, but situationally, these games come down, and the margin of error is so thin. And a lot of our young guys, as we've been building this through the draft and, you know, some of the small free agent deals we made before, but now – we've got a good mix, and we feel very good about our experience going in this year, too.
Who are some of the guys, stay on the defensive side, that all these fans are going to get excited to see that, you know, we're kind of salivating to watch some of the new guys on defense flying around?
Well, you're just going to feel the presence up front. We've got a big football team, Stake.
Yeah.
And you're going to see guys, you know, that want to crush that pocket. And so, the things that Bud Dupree and David and these guys in there, and when we get Calais back out there, along with some of these guys that have developed, obviously Grady and what he's done for this team and him in there, and getting TQ back and just watching the development of Timmy Horn. I mean, Timmy Horn was a CFA guy that we got last year that, I'm excited to watch his growth potential and as we build that depth. And then, the underrated things that I don't think it wasn't a splash free agent signing, but Caden Ellis. Caden Ellis is a damn good football player. Caden Ellis knows how to rush the passer. Caden Ellis can play stack linebacker. When you've got smart, instinctive guys like that, they can play, get in a lot of personnel groups. You need in the development of AK, Arnold Ebikadi. So that's just a lot of different packages we can go. And then Jesse there, and Richie, and Hawk, and Akuda. I mean, it's just a completely different look.
You know this better than anybody. The last thing the Bengals want to do is lose a guy like Jesse Bates. I mean, Jesse Bates is, I think, one of the biggest signings in the offseason, has a chance to really be a factor back there for you guys.
He does. I mean, with what we ask our safeties to do, I mean, there's the way the game played, the chess match is played down in and down out, and the guys that are instinctive and smart and understand the defense and can also problem solve. When things happen or they can get other guys in the right direction, watching A.J. develop. And I think another fun battle to watch is that nickel position.
Yeah.
Between Mike Hughes and D. Alford and Big Clark Phillips. So that'll be fun to watch,
too. It's very competitive. Guys playing for their football lives and starters or to get – I mean, there's a lot more competitive challenges. This is what depth looks like. At least that's right. What it feels like to us. But it feels like this is what depth looks like.
And it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a long season. I mean, everybody says it. I know it's a cliche. But
right.
Damn, it is. I mean, it's like it takes on like a full year. You got your fall, your winter, spring, summer. You just want to be improving as the year goes on, and then things are going to come up, and that's what you need depth for week in and week out.
And the storylines, I always tell this to Sandra. I've covered 25 training camps. Whatever stories our sports talk guys are doing, this is going to be great, and we're going to pound the football, and Arthur's got this going on, and we're going to have. Like 7 weeks in,
it's
there's a storyline that, wow, we didn't see that coming.
Right.
Well, this guy's got 50 catches, and hey, our number two receiver looks like the storylines, that's the beauty of the NFL.
It is.
It's the greatest reality show because we have no idea how each season takes on its own character.
No, you don't. When people look at the schedules, I mean, most of these teams, I mean, if and knock on wood, you don't want to see this for the league, but if a team gets a key injury, it can completely change the dynamic of that team's season.
But it's also the idea.
Idea. I-D-E-A.
Sorry. New England roots.
He's
there.
From Boston,
yeah.
Arthur.
Yeah, couldn't tell.
I apologize.
So when guys, my biggest pet peeve in all of sports radio is when guys go through the 17 games. Well, that's a win. That's a loss. That should be a win. How do we know who's good?
Yeah.
How do we know who's a star? How do we think that a team that, because we have a last place schedule. Bill Parcells once said, we're a 6-10 team because we're a 6-10 team. If you're a good football team, good schedule, bad schedule, you'll be 11-6, you'll be 10-7, you'll be 12-5. If you're a mediocre team like we've been the last couple of years, you're going to have 7-8 wins. It's not the schedule that decides that.
No, not at all. Yep. I mean, you don't know. I mean, you play somebody week 7 and they've got a guy that's a game wrecker and he's out, it's like, you're going to play the Rams, right? And if Aaron Donald's not out there, that changes your whole game plan.
Right.
I mean, those are the guys that keep you up. That nobody, everybody knows Aaron Donald's a good player, but the guys that you got a game plan around,
right. There's
a select few in this league, and if they're not out there, that can, whatever that schedule comes out, if they're out for two games, then that's a completely different matchup. So
Arthur Smith is with us, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, coach of the Falcons. So the draft equity in taking three guys at the top of the draft, and it started with Kyle Pitts at number 4, highest ranked drafted tight end ever. Then it's Drake London. Now it's Bijan. There is a lot of notion that an offensive mind like Arthur Smith and talk about the equity of picking top 10 and taking three offensive skill positions, that this offense and these guys have got to be utilized, and that pressure's on you to figure out. You got a lot of parts. Jonu Smith, underrated piece. Cordero coming back. Obviously, we like some of the other moves. But three guys at the top of the draft, How do you look at what this offense needs to be?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously we feel like we can be a very explosive offense. I mean, I think sometimes people are so rigid in their thinking. I mean, you can go conventional and go pay $12-13 million to a number 2-3 receiver that's not very productive, that nobody, that, you know, with a backup nickel they can really cover, because you think that's what the market says because of what was based off last year. Or you go get guys that, when you use the draft, and again, we were only going to take offensive players. You got a pot of guys. And we felt the way it fell to us and the way it was stacked, those guys have the chance to be these kind of blue chip type players. And they're young. They're in your program. You get to develop them. And, you know, with Kyle coming in here, he wasn't 21 yet. Drake had just turned 21. Bijan's young. These are young players. And then they can move them around everywhere. So you come out of an offensive set, and you've got Drake, you've got Kyle, you've got Cordero, you got Bijan, Tyler, Janu, you know, all these things. Like, you know how many different looks you can get? Yeah, you can get 11 personnel looks. You can get into 22 personnel looks. You can go empty. You know, it's a matchup league. So whether we play Kyle outside at Z receiver, he comes into number 3 to play the Y, those are things that get the matchups.
So,
and then Desmond Ridder has so much more confidence with just everywhere he looks. He's got a weapon.
He does. I mean, as you build as a quarterback in this league, I mean, you need to help him. I mean, that's
right.
There's guys that, and you'll never know. These are great sports talk radio arguments. If this guy gets drafted in this situation with no help, how good is he really? You know, to get to that step where they start winning early on, or does he, you know, he get washed out and goes through 4 offensive coordinators and 3 head coaches in 4 years, and you know, and never could reach his potential?
So the notion that Arthur Smith is obsessed with running the ball. Look at Tennessee. Look at Derrick Henry. Look at Tyler Allgeier. He just wants to pound the ball. He's an old school coach. We're not an explosive. We're more of a tough guy mentality. Is that the fair stereotype of Arthur Smith?
I mean, that'd be, you know, on the surface, certainly you want to control the line of scrimmage. Right. But I would argue, if you go back to where I thought, you know, even go back to Tennessee, we were pretty damn explosive. And we were able to be very efficient. You're able to be, you know, when you get to that level, as you go back and look at that run we had in 19 and then coming back in 20, you had a lot of guys that could move the football different ways, whether it was catch and run or it was shots, you know. And then what makes you, when you're not obvious in the red zone, it's hard to defend.
Yep.
When you're just going to one guy, they can bracket you and make you play, you know, left-handed, or if you're, I guess I don't want to offend anybody, if you're left-handed, make you play right-handed, but that happens. But when you've got a lot of guys that are matchup problems and there's different ways, that's how you get to that where you're
putting up real numbers.
And that was head coach Arthur Smith. Couple things about this. So when he was talking about the Titans, you know, and, well, they were an explosive offense and they were coming from. Okay, they also had arguably one of the 1 or 2 best offensive lines in the NFL. Like, they were a great line of scrimmage team. They weren't going out there with a bunch of jabrons. So I think I don't want to say he was underselling what his offensive line meant, but, you know, certainly he was, you know, certainly, you know, maybe – not giving them as much credit as what they ultimately deserve. So, and again, you know, when you look at what the Titans also had, you know what they had, that we don't have? Had Harold Landry, who was 9-12, you know, even Autry a couple years ago was 9 sacks, and Jeffrey Simmons was 8.5 sacks. Like, they got guys that could come off the edge and crush your quarterback. That's, again, it's not as complicated as you know, gets made out to be. But obviously, look, they have got a lot of pieces for the red zone. They've got a lot of pieces that they can use, and they can give you a lot of different and confusing looks when they get down deep. But don't confuse it about, you know, why was Tennessee good? Because they were one of the best offensive lines, if not the best in football, and they had a guy or two that could come off the edge and crush your quarterback. Well, we've got one of those things. Do we have the second? You know, at the end of the day, do we have the second part of all of that? We'll see. I mean, again, you know, we'll see what, what ends up happening with this. But obviously, you know, we're excited for what's going to happen, but we need to see it, right? All right, when we come back from the top of the hour, we'll be time for the Falcons flyover. We'll get to a lot of clips from Grady Jarrett, Drake London, Richie Grant. We'll hear from all of those guys coming up next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuck Brew Show, hanging out at the Kia Studios, 404-726-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. So we're going to play some of these Falcon interviews, and I'm going to give some commentary on the back end of them. So the Chuck House, right, they're the ones Steak and Sandra had. They had Arthur Smith on earlier in the show. So and they start off by asking him about how camp heading into year three differs from years one and two.
You go into these jobs, and anytime you take a new job, whether you know you get promoted or you know you go somewhere else, which many people can relate to, there's always the unknown, and you try to do as much research and prepare yourself, but it's the unknown. You know that every day you walk in, something may come up.
Right.
You know, especially we got a lot of players this time of year. You know, you got 90, really 91 with Avery on IR. And things come up. There's life that happens outside this building. So every day, you know, something comes up and your situations that.
Decisions to be made every day as head coach. It is totally different from as you worked your way up through coordinators and, you know, literally up the coaching ladder. But there is always something put in front of you in that position. And you have to make decisions, quick decisions, important decisions to move your football team forward.
Absolutely. You know, if you know, you're going to get tested as a, you know, with all the things you believe in, as you know, your leadership qualities, right, and you know, the way you want to run the program. How can you adapt? I mean, things can change in an instant in this league, and that are out of your control.
Do you enjoy training camp?
I do. I really do. And it's exciting. I mean, when you, the thing that makes it fun for me is how our guys work. This isn't a team that, and every team's different, but the quality of guys we have here, not only really good football players, but these guys work. And you'd rather have guys you got to pull back than guys you got to push forward. And we got plenty of guys that go.
What's the most important role? Are you one of those guys that gets the most juiced up for practices, for training camp, for game day? Like, mindset of how you wake up this morning and how you approach your most important job in running this team, especially in training camp. What is it?
Yeah, it's making sure that we're doing enough, you know, because you've got guys at different stages. We got to get ready to put the ultimate goal. We got to be ready to play September 10th. But, you know, we're going to go down to Miami, and it's going to go quick. I mean, August 11th. We got to get ready to play a full game. You know, we'll decide that week and who all is playing and who's not. But you got to go out there and play a game and get some of these guys ready that haven't, you know, never stepped on the field in the NFL. And so you're just making sure that you're prepared, the plans you have, you know, guys that you're expecting, they're young players, are they getting the right reps? Are we getting the right looks? All that stuff.
Arthur Smith, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, joining us right here on the Steakhouse on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Talk a little bit about the offseason, and I'll say that you were put in a unique situation for 2 years. Not a lot of flexibility with dollars, you know, grabbing guys on one-year deals, trying to, you know, kind of piece together, knowing that this offseason coming up, the last one we just had,
absolutely,
was a chance to load up and start to get the team that maybe I think you believe can be really competitive, a playoff team, and maybe farther than that. So talk about what you had to do for 2 years and how great it was to kind of have, you know, the opportunity to go get the guys you got in the offseason.
Well, you know, every job has unique challenges, and you know, they're very upfront. You know, you get fortunate enough to the opportunity to get one of these jobs, and you know, you understand there's maybe some issues with the
challenges,
cap, and
cap,
yeah,
challenges.
As you transition, sure. And we tried like hell. You don't ever want to make excuses, and it's going to teach you a lot about what you really believe in. Are you really going to be adaptable? Can you problem solve? Can you, you know, if you really look at our 21 team,
yeah,
we played completely different than how we played last year because we weren't going to concede anything. I mean, I just don't think believing excuse making. I mean, I know some people want the rationale of whatever it's become in vogue to say, hey, you know, we'll just kick the can down the road to the next year. But you need to build a culture of winning and guys that know how this game's played. Because a lot of these players, say you come from college, they're not in these one-possession games.
Right.
They're not. I mean, a few times a year, but situationally, these games come down, and the margin of error is so thin. And a lot of our young guys, as we've been building this through the draft and, you know, some of the small free agent deals we made before, but now – we've got a good mix, and we feel very good about our experience going in this year, too.
Who are some of the guys, stay on the defensive side, that all these fans are going to get excited to see that you know, we're kind of salivating to watch some of the new guys on defense flying around?
Well, you're just going to feel the presence up front. We've got a big football team, Steak.
Yeah.
And you're going to see guys, you know, that want to crush that pocket. And so, you know, the things that Bud Dupree and David – and these guys in there, when we get Calais back out there, along with some of these guys that have developed, obviously Grady and what he's done for this team and him in there, and getting TQ back and just watching the development of Timmy Horn. I mean, Timmy Horn was a CFA guy that we got last year that, you know, I'm excited to watch his growth potential and as we build that depth. And then, you know, the underrated things that I don't think it wasn't a splash free agent signing, but Caden Ellis. Caden Ellis is a damn good football player. Caden Ellis knows how to rush the passer. Caden Ellis can play stack linebacker. When you've got smart, instinctive guys like that, they can play, get in a lot of personnel groups. You need in the development of AK, Arnold Ebiketie. You know, so that's just a lot of different packages we can go. And then Jesse back there, and Richie and Hawk and Akuda. I mean, it's just a completely different look.
You know this better than anybody. The last thing the Bengals want to do is lose a guy like Jesse Bates. I mean, Jesse Bates is, I think, one of the biggest signings in the offseason, has a chance to really be a factor back there for you guys.
He does. I mean, with what we ask our safeties to do, I mean, there's the way the game played, the chess match is played down in and down out, and the guys that are instinctive and smart and understand the defense and can also problem solve. You know, when things happen or they can get other guys in the right direction. Watching AJ develop, and I think another fun battle to watch is that nickel position.
Yeah.
You know, between Mike Hughes and D. Alford and Big Clark Phillips. So that'll be fun to watch.
I mean, it's very competitive. Guys playing for their football lives and starters or to get. There's a lot more competitive challenges. This is what depth looks like. At least that's right. What it feels like to us. But it feels like this is what depth looks like.
And it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a long season. I mean, everybody says it. I know it's a cliche. But
right.
Damn, it is. I mean, it's like it takes on like a full year. You got your fall, your winter, spring, summer. You know, you just want to be improving as the year goes on, and then things are going to come up, and that's what you need depth for week in and week out.
And the storylines, I always tell this to Sandra. I've covered 25 training camps. Whatever stories our sports talk guys are doing, this is going to be great, and we're going to pound the football, and Arthur's got this going on, and we're going to have. Like 7 weeks in,
it's
there's a storyline that wow, we didn't see that coming.
Right.
Well, this guy's got 50 catches, and hey, our number two receiver looks like the storylines. That's the beauty of the NFL.
It is.
It's the greatest reality show because we have no idea how each season takes on its own character.
No, you don't. When people look at the schedules, I mean, you know, most of these teams. I mean, if and knock on wood, you don't want to see this for the league, but if a team gets a key injury, it can completely change the dynamic of that team's season.
But it's also the idea.
I-D-E-A.
Sorry, my New England roots.
He's
there.
From Boston,
yeah.
Arthur.
Yeah, couldn't tell.
I apologize.
So when guys, my biggest pet peeve in all of sports radio is when guys go through the 17 games. Well, that's a win, that's a loss, that should be a win. Like, how do we know who's good?
Yeah.
How do we know who's a star? How do we think that a team that, because we have a last place schedule.
Yeah,
like that me, you know, Bill Parcells once said, we're a 6-10 team because we're a 6-10 team. If you're a good football team, good schedule, bad schedule, you'll be 11-6, you'll be 10-7, you'll be 12-5. If you're a mediocre team like we've been the last couple of years, you're going to have a 7-8 wins. It's not the schedule that decides that.
No, not at all. Yep. I mean, you don't know. I mean, like, you know, you play somebody week 7 and they've got a guy that's a game wrecker and
right. And
he's out, you know, it's like you're going to play the Rams, right? And if Aaron Donald's not out there, that changes your whole game plan.
Right.
I mean, those are the guys that keep you up. That nobody, you know, everybody knows Aaron Donald's a good player, but the guys that you got a game plan around,
right.
There's a select few in this league, and if they're not out there, that can, you know, whatever that schedule comes out, if they're out for two games, then that's a completely different matchup. So
Arthur Smith is with us, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, coach of the Falcons. So the draft equity in taking three guys at the top of the draft, and it started with Kyle Pitts at number 4, highest ranked drafted tight end ever. Then it's Drake London. Now it's Bijan. There is a lot of notion that an offensive mind like Arthur Smith, and talk about the equity of picking top 10 and taking three offensive skill positions, that this offense and these guys have got to be utilized, and that pressure's on you to figure out. You got a lot of parts. Jonu Smith, underrated piece. Cordero coming back. Obviously, we like some of the other moves. But three guys at the top of the draft, how do you look at what this offense needs to be?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, we feel like we can be a very explosive offense. I mean, I think sometimes people are so rigid in their thinking. I mean, you can go conventional and go pay $12, $13 million to a number 2 or 3 receiver that's not very productive, that nobody that – you know, with a backup nickel, they can really cover because you think that's what the market says because of what was based off last year. Or you go get guys that when you use the draft, and again, we were only going to take offensive players. You got a pot of guys. And we felt the way it fell to us and the way it was stacked, those guys have the chance to be these kind of blue chip type players. And they're young. They're in your program. You get to develop them. And, you know, with Kyle coming in here, he wasn't 21 yet. Drake had just turned 21. Bijan's young. These are young players. And then they can move them around everywhere. So you come out of an offensive set, and you've got Drake, you've got Kyle, you've got Cordero, you got Bijan, Tyler, Jonu, you know, all these things. Like, you know how many different looks you can get?
Yeah,
you can get 11 personnel looks. You can get into 22 personnel looks. You can go empty. You know, it's a matchup league. So whether we play Kyle outside at Z receiver, he comes into number 3 to play the Y, those are things that get the matchups.
So
and then Desmond Ritter has so much more confidence with just everywhere he looks. He's got a weapon.
He does. I mean, as you build as a quarterback in this league, I mean, you need to help him. I mean, that's
right.
There's guys that, and you'll never know. These are great sports talk radio arguments. If this guy gets drafted in this situation with no help, how good is he really? You know, to get to that step where they start winning early on, or does he, you know, he get washed out and goes through four offensive coordinators and three head coaches in 4 years, and you know, and never could reach his potential?
So the notion that Arthur Smith is obsessed with running the ball. Look at Tennessee. Look at Derrick Henry. Look at Tyler Allgeier. He just wants to pound the ball. He's an old school coach. We're not an explosive. We're more of a tough guy mentality. Is that the fair stereotype of Arthur Smith?
I mean, that'd be, you know, on the surface, certainly you want to control the line of scrimmage. Right. But I would argue if you go back to where I thought, you know, even go back to Tennessee, we were pretty damn explosive. And we were able to be very efficient. You're able to be, you know, when you get to that level, as you go back and look at that run we had in 19 and then coming back in 20, you had a lot of guys that could move the football different ways, whether it was catch and run or it was shots, you know, that, and then what makes you, when you're not obvious in the red zone, it's hard to defend.
Yep.
When you're just going to one guy, they can bracket you
right.
And make you play, you know, left-handed, or if you're, I guess I don't want to offend anybody, if you're left-handed, they can play right-handed, but that happens. But when you've got a lot of guys that are matchup problems,
yep,
and there's different ways, that's how you get to that where you're
putting up real numbers.
And that was head coach Arthur Smith. Couple things about this. So when he was talking about the Titans, you know, and well, they were an explosive offense and where it come from. Okay. They also had arguably one of the one or two best offensive lines in the NFL. Like, they were a great line of scrimmage team. They weren't going out there with a bunch of jabrones. So I think I don't want to say he was underselling what his offensive line meant, but, you know, certainly he was, you know, maybe not giving them as much credit as what they ultimately deserve. So, and again, you know, when you look at what the Titans also had, you know what they had that we don't have? Had Harold Landry, who was 9-12, you know, even Autry a couple years ago was 9 sacks, and Jeffrey Simmons was 8.5 sacks. Like, they got guys that could come off the edge and crush your quarterback. That's, again, it's not as complicated as you know, gets made out to be. But obviously, look, they have got a lot of pieces for the red zone. They've got a lot of pieces that they can use, and they can give you a lot of different and confusing looks when they get down deep. But don't confuse it about, you know, why was Tennessee good? Because they were one of the best offensive lines, if not the best in football, and they had a guy or two that could come off the edge and crush your quarterback. Well, we've got one of those things. Do we have the second? You know, at the end of the day, do we have the second part of all of that? We'll see. I mean, again, you know, we'll see what ends up happening with this, but obviously, you know, we're excited for what's going to happen, but we need to see it, right? All right, when we come back from the top of the hour, we'll be time for the Falcons flyover. We'll get to a lot of clips from Grady Jarrett, Drake London, Richie Grant. We'll hear from all of those guys coming up next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, theodyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.